much of a praise as you can give is that meant you was able to pay your electric bill. If I say give God a praise and you, that signifies or symbolizes that what he done in your life really wasn't so major. I wonder how God feels when he watches UK fans in the tournament. 3 minutes left, and they down by one. 39 seconds left, and they down by one. And the guy dribbles down the court, they two or three different passes, and at the last second, so that the other team cannot get another shot off, throws up the three, and he wins, and they win by two. I wonder what that praise looks like, and then I wonder what God thinks about the praise that we'll give the basketball team. But when we talk about the one who saved your soul, when we talk about the one that saved, when we talk about the, don't do it because you don't mean it. You don't mean it. When we talk about the one that saved your sanity, saved you in your right mind, saved your children, beat the disease, trucked the cancer. You understand what I'm saying? He's the one that dismantled depression. I wonder how God feels when we just. Some of us will get happier over a sale in a store in the mall than we will for the one who saved our soul. If you remember, how many of y'all old enough to remember Breedings and TDs and Moments and okay, y'all acting like y'all ain't always been saved. Okay, but. When you remember the club that you went to, whatever age you was, and when your song came on, you could be depressed, but the first thing that came out your mouth was, "Oh, that's my song right there," and you got up and you praised. Didn't have anything together in your life, but you praised. But when we get into the house of the Lord, and we say, "Praise the Lord." If I was ever going to lose my cool, mess up my hair, I don't care nothing about my shoes, don't care about sweating out my perm, you understand what I'm saying to you? It would be on the strength because I was praising the Lord. Amen? Maybe you only get what you got because you only give what you have. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I hear you. He said, yeah, tell him. I'm tired of being praised like they can take me or leave me. If I was to leave, thus saith the Lord. If I was to exit your life, thus saith the Lord. Anybody remember life without God? So somebody said, now I've always had him in my life. No, you haven't. You've always known about him. You knew some people that knew him, but you ain't always known. Come on, all over the building. Let's give God some praise. Not because I'm emotional, but because I'm conscious. In other words, because I know what you've done for me. I know what you do for me, and I know what you've promised me. And on the strength of that, I just cannot hold my joy. Amen. Some of you are going through hell and high water, and you've allowed that to steal your joy. But can I tell you, just because it's crazy don't mean it's over. He said the weapons would form. I ain't seen nobody that has prospered against yet. Amen. Hallelujah. So no matter how crazy it gets, I like my odds. Amen. Amen. I was in the process of writing the sermon today, and the Lord kind of just shut it down and kind of gave me a day off. Amen. And if you're from the old church, you know something about the oldies but the goodies. Amen. And so, yes, Pastor has a melody of sermons that he keeps. And the Lord said, I want you to preach this because this fits in. We'll be ending, starting over next week, God willing. And the Lord said, this sermon needs to go into the portfolio of the series. Amen. And so this series is called Part 5 of Starting Over. This is not how it will end. Because some of you are in a situation right now. Some of you are going through some things. Some of you are connected to some people that's going through some things that honestly believe this is how it's going to end. And so I want you to leave out of here motivated and empowered with a belief system that says, this is not how it's going to end. I'm starting over. It's not going to stay like this. Amen. I'm going to be the me that he's called me to be. Romans chapter 8, verse number 18. And you'll have to excuse verses not being on the screen. We had some technical difficulties this week, and I want to apologize. We were supposed to have a baptism after service today, and we've got some issues going on with the water. We continue to pray for the church. To let you know what happens with things, you know, you've got a water leak at your house. You know, you pay a plumber, you call a plumber, he charges you $200, right? We get a water leak at the church, we call the plumber, and the cheapest quote is $7,500. And that's Jeff's friend. that's the discount. I'd hate to know what it would be if we didn't have some type of favor, amen? So, pray for your church, because it is a constant. There's going to always be a warfare and a battle against the building that houses the church. You are the church. You, each of you individually are the church. And there's always going to be a warfare against the building that houses the church. Don't find it strange when you, now that hell's been going on in your house. I'm talking to about six people in the building today. Don't find it strange when hell's been going on in your house, because warfare will always be sent against the building or the premises that houses the church. This is why some of your bodies is going through some of the things that it's going through, because your body houses the church. Lord have mercy. Romans 8 and 18 says, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. And then real quickly, if we could go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 15 through 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 15 through 18. And for the sake of time, I will go ahead and read. Or maybe I won't. I'm sorry, 16 through 18, and it says, therefore do not lose heart. Did you catch that? Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, somebody say it ain't all that bad, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceedingly and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. May God add a blessing to the hearers and readers, the most of all the doers of his word. You may be seated in the presence of the holy and divine God. we do not look at the things which are seen, but the things that are not seen. For the things that are seen are temporary, but the things which are seen are not are seen that are not seen are eternal. When I concluded reading those verses, every soul in here who is a believer of Jesus, who may at this time be going through some things that has them up late at night, in all honesty, you should have lost your minds. If you are a believer that is going through the fight of your life right now, and if you were to just be honest, you feel like it's all quickly caving in, those verses should have prompted you to literally lose your mind here. The reason why, let me not get ahead of myself. There's only two ways that you should be able to hear those two pieces of scripture and not lose your mind. And one is if you simply just do not understand what the Apostle Paul was trying to say in that verse. Or the second reason would be you simply lack faith. Faith. I'm learning more and more every time that I talk to the saints, is misunderstood and far too lightly taken. He or she who operates in faith operates in a power that, if you ask me, faith is power that is priceless. Maybe the reason why we wasn't able to lose our minds is not because we did not understand the verse, but because of the level of faith that we are or are not working in. If I believe God, Lord have mercy. Now, I want you to catch that, okay? I want you to get this because, see, this is going to confront some of our mindsets. And confrontation is okay if confrontation brings forth revelation. Okay? And so I have to ask myself, why didn't I shout when I heard that? Why didn't I lose it when I heard that? And I'm going through hell. Why didn't I lose my mind? Why didn't I get excited when I heard that? Is it because I don't really believe that even God can help me? Is it possible that sometimes Satan will box you into a corner? Have you so beat up that you begin to experience memory loss? What are you talking about, Pastor? Anybody ever had a concussion and for a minute you couldn't remember some things? Because you took a blow, you took a hit, you bumped your head. And the reality is this, get this, the reason, and so since you can't remember things, you can't remember that he's pulled you through hell before. See, everybody in the building ought to go ahead and just admit, this ain't my first rodeo with the hell that I'm going through right now, no matter how major or how minuscule. This is not the first rodeo that I've went through. This is not the first time that I've been trying. This is not the first time that I felt like giving up. This is not the first time that I didn't think I was going to make it out. This is not the first time that this thing was bigger than me. But because I know who I serve, I can get excited about these verses. This is why it is so very important to get to know the God that you serve. Isn't it amazing that how many people in here would say that they were saved but couldn't quote five verses? Would swear that they are saved but not tell me that I don't love the Lord, but you can't quote five things that Jesus said. Let's narrow it down. Not just all of the Bible, but let's just narrow it down to the four Gospels. I bet you, with everybody that's supposedly saved, 98% of the people in this building couldn't tell me five things that Jesus said. But you can tell me five songs. You can show me five Instagram posts. You can show me. You understand what I'm saying to you? Faith, I'm learning again, is if you're operating with faith, it's priceless. Can you, in my office, man, in my desk, I think it's the one on the left-hand side, there's a jar of seeds in there. Could you bring them to me real quick? We did this before, but I want to show it to you again. It's a priceless power because it allows you, get this, to be you in the midst of the storm. Oh, it's a priceless power because it allows you to be who God called you to be despite what it is that's coming up against you. I don't know about y'all, but I'm so tired of these sometime Christians that, you know, they got all the power in the world till hell hit. You understand what I'm saying to you? It's important. I don't know about you, Pastor, but it's important in my life right now that if I call you, you better be able to pray me out of it, or at least pray me to where I've got my sense back, I've got my strength back, I've got my know-how back. You understand what I'm saying to you? In fact, I can't even be around people that don't got faith for themselves, because if you ain't got faith for yourself, you don't have faith for me. You don't believe you can get out of yours, and I'm coming to you, and you definitely don't believe I can get out of mine. show you something real quick. I want to show you something real quick. Okay. Okay. Yeah, yeah. Okay. No, you don't need one. You just give me two. All right. I'm going to give you a little something here. I'm going to give you a little something. Pass them on down. Pass them on down. Give him a couple of things. Give him one. One thing. Let him know. He's doing this during the sermon because I want to make sure you got it. Around very fast. The way my 268 is set up, 258 is set up, I wouldn't go make it around there and come back. Amen. I want to show you something. Jesus says something crazy in the Gospels. I want these, suffer not the little children, but I want these adults to get these seeds. Get this. He says something. He says, if you have the faith of a mustard seed, you're holding a mustard seed. You're holding a mustard seed right now. Jesus said, if you have the faith of this, you can say to your mountains, be ye removed, and that's that. There was a popular gospel song that made millions of dollars off of our ignorance. And it was, and some of y'all gonna get mad at her, I'm climbing up the rough side of the mountain. Well, Jesus didn't tell you to climb up the rough side of the mountain. He told you to tell the mountain to go away. See, can I make that plain? See, some of you are dealing with your demons. You're arguing with your demons. You're trying to fight with your demons. You're trying to fight with the devils that are in your life. And God didn't tell you to fight with them. He said, tell them to be removed. Can I just go ahead and say this? If you got haters, it's because you're out of pocket. You're out of line. What do you mean, Pastor? Because haters should not be allowed in your vicinity. Move, haters. Get out the way. Be gone in the name of Jesus. Go and get your piece of that right there, Kevin. Yeah. All you need is that. Isn't that amazing? To tell a mountain to be removed out of your life, all you need is that. But Jesus said, if you got this, if implies you might not. Hold on, how you going to tell me I ain't got faith this big? Why you been crying about what you've been crying about? And I'm pretty sure your problem isn't as big as a mountain. It's a priceless power because it allows you in the midst of the storm to still be you. The one that's supposed to be saved. The one that's supposed to have faith no matter what it is that you're going through. One of the worst feelings in the world is to be going through hell and high water and hear people quote scriptures of faith to you that doesn't do anything for you. Remember we was talking about that last week? That's why we don't call the church people, because all we going to do is quote scripture. And if you don't really believe, then that don't help you out. Anybody ever done that? You call your friend who's saved, and they quote scripture, and you want to call your friend that ain't saved, because they going to baby you. See, if you call me and you're supposed to be saved, if you call me and you're supposed to be saved, I'm not going to patty cake you. I'm going to remind you what was promised in the Word. So you don't really want to spend a whole lot of time with me. You want to get with the other faithless friend of yours and go, it's going to be okay. Let's figure out a way how we can get you through this when it was never your problem to figure out how to get out of in the first place. Stand still and see the deliverance of me, thus saith the Lord. Ah, Lord. And in fact, I've come to a place in my life where when I'm being hit and hit and hit even the more, I don't need a bunch of folk telling me that it's going to be okay. In fact, this is why when I'm going through, I don't call everybody. People always come to me and say, why didn't you call me? What am I calling you for? You just called me last week. Your phone call last week told me that you don't really believe. Why in the world would I call you? So you can remind me of how bad it is? Before you remind me that we've got a God that'll bring us out of it, thank you, Cheryl. I don't call everybody because I know that everybody can't help me. It's not that they don't care. It's not that they don't want or wouldn't want to help me. But the plain truth is, everyone, not everyone, possesses the faith to pray me out of some of the hell that I go through. talk about sports. Another day, we can talk about sports on the phone. We can talk about, you know, we talk about culture, our clothes and our style on the phone. But the people that's going to be in my circle are the people who's got a prayer life. Not because I like them more than I like other people, but simply because I know my assignment, and my assignment brings me warfare. See, some of you are called, and your assignment brings you warfare. And the reason why that warfare continues to overcome you is because of the people that you got around you have not the strength to support. Lord, have mercy. This is why it's so important to come to church for a relationship with Jesus and learn about Jesus and the things of Jesus and about the second requirement of Jesus, and that is faith. The first requirement is to repent, and the second requirement is to believe. And this is a fact that is easily proven by the first command Jesus ever gives when he begins his earthly ministry in the book of Mark, chapter 1, verses 14 through 15, when Jesus says, after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, this is Jesus saying, the time is fulfilled, that the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe. In the gospel, believe, have faith in, rely on, trust in. I'll deal with repentance soon, but today I want to deal with believing. I want to talk about faith, and the reason that I want to deal with faith is because I fear that faith, or people believing that they have faith, hasn't really been dealt with. Because as I deal with Christians all over, I realize how many people believe that they have faith. I realize how many believe mistakenly that you have faith just because you say you do. Or that is something that you get in a, you know, you believe that you get faith in a goodie bag and because now you're saved. And I want you to know that the only freebie that you get when you come to Christ is salvation. You get another one, discernment. That's a freebie. Discernment is defined as a perception in the absence of judgment with a view to obtaining spiritual guidance and understanding. More simply put, discernment gives me the ability to make a difference in what's right and wrong. I like to say it like this. It gives me the ability to see the wolves in sheep's clothing. Yeah, get you some discernment. Hold fast to that discernment. How many times you look back on your life and go, I really wish I would have had some discernment back then. The Sexy Dex was spitting his best game. I wish I would have had some discernment when she was thicker than Alabama mud. I wish I would have had some discernment. My Jesus used to say, everything that glitter ain't gold. Amen. And I believe that God gives us this dynamic gift first, because God knows that as babes in Christ, we are going to have to know that enemy when we see it. He gives us discernment because we have to know the enemy when we see it. We are going to have to know when he's around. And it's amazing to me. My spiritual mother used to say, what is it about your Holy Ghost that demons are comfortable around you? So watch this. Anything that is comfortable around you, you don't necessarily have to look out for it, do you? But it's when something is uncomfortable around you that you begin to watch it, right? Could it be that many of us have too many demons in our life and we don't know it because they're comfortable around you? And since you don't know it, they're able to work on you and work against you and work through you and work through the people close to you, and you just don't know it. This has my mind dealing with a whole other subject, because what I'm having trouble understanding is, or maybe it's not that I'm having trouble understanding it, but rather I don't want to face it because it's rough. But what's perplexing me now is, if God gives us discernment when we are saved, and he does, and discernment gifts us with the ability to see the wolves and hear the game and sense the foolishness, then how is it that so many Christians are still being played? I'll wait. See, when we say that we're saved, we're saying a whole lot. When we're saying that we're saved, we're saying we can't be played. Why? Because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. So when it tries to come play me, I have a play-proof vest on called the Holy Ghost that I don't get caught up with the foolishness because I see it coming. How we all saved but don't never see it coming? Are y'all quiet in here today? Y'all quiet in here today? I'm struggling with this thought because what I don't want to believe is that so many people are either trying to play a game with God or that people, for the lack of knowledge, think they are operating in something that they're not. Like real talk, I know ain't nobody going to be honest, but how many of you, since just coming to this church, found out you wasn't as saved as you thought you was after a couple of weeks here? Yeah, that's major, ain't it? Just walked in knowing, Holy Ghost all on me. I got Holy Ghost in my purse, Holy Ghost in my backpack. I'm just saved, super saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost. And then after a couple of weeks, and you begin to read those screens and open that Bible for yourself, not just taking somebody's word, you found out you wasn't where you thought you were. Don't y'all know it hit me like that too? How about last night? A night before last, I was at work and I read something and was like, whoa, well, I need to repent. That one got past me. Huh? And it ain't to feel bad when you find yourself in that position. You ought to bless God that He still allows you to see where you need to get yourself together. And the reason why He wants you to get yourself together is because He yearns to be with you. He ain't no control freak just set tripping on the strength that He's got and you better do what I say do or it's going to be issues. No, He wants you to do what you're supposed to do so that He can be with you. Relationship, Pastor, because He loves you. And so the devil doesn't mind this group going to church. So it's either that you're trying to play God or you think that you really believe that you're operating in something that you're not. And the latter is actually seeming to be more true because this group of people seems to get attacked less. Stay with me. The people who think that they are operating in a power that they're not seem to get attacked less. But their walk is also not as tight as they believe it is either. And the devil doesn't mind this group going to church because he knows they have no power. He knows they have no walk. In fact, he kind of likes them going to church because he can bank on them being the ones that talk through service. Want to show their friend a Candy Crush high score during service. I've just got to be all the way real because not being real is what has brought many of us to an age where after all these years, we thought that we were one way when it came to God, and now we're figuring out that it's a whole other thing completely. I've actually watched grown folk, older folk, seasoned folk hear the real word of God, the true word of God, and not come back. Not go to any other church, just not come back. You know why? Because they don't want the responsibility of doing the right thing. They say, I'm set in my ways. You better unset your ways. You be set in hell. You get away. And see, people don't understand. You're going to end up in hell. Stuff like that. People are like, why they got to talk about hell? Because that's where you're going to go if you don't get it together. You better be in a church that's going to talk about hell and not talk about every day. You're going to get a Benz. You're going to get a house. Your marriage is about to be off the hook. And you're one of the most trifling souls out here. Listen, that is not a pimp. I mean, that is not a pastor that's a pimp. You're being proper lied to. You better want to deal with a church that's going to tell you, hey, that type of behavior right there is going to send you to hell. And not only is it going to send you to hell, in the midst of you going to hell, you're going to train your children to go straight to hell or not want to deal with God at all, which is going to send them straight to hell. So you better get you some get right. Quit being soft. I wanted everybody to soothe you with everything that they're saying. Soothe you straight into the gates of the fire. Love your children. Love your family. That's why I preach the way that I do, because I love those children. I love them. You understand what I'm saying to you? And anything that you love, you don't want to see burn. You don't want to see. Let me tell you something. Let's just take hell out of it. If you don't have God in your children's life and you're not operating correctly in front of your children, so you're training them to be hypocritical when it comes to the things of God, do you know that you are setting them up for every mistake you make? Think about that. I shiver to think about, you know, I got kids that I wasn't saved and they sitting where I once sat. It breaks my heart. And it's very important that every saint understand the importance of faith. Because there's going to be some times when you're a man of God, even if that being me, is going to need your prayers. I'm going to need your encouragement, and you can't help me if you don't have any faith. You will always have to call me or another leader in the church or member in the church when your family is being attacked, because if you really want them healed, delivered, and set free, it's going to take people praying who actually believe God can deliver on His promises and on His power. If you see a person who was struggling with addiction badly and you never seen the power of God deliver someone from addiction, then you might struggle believing that the power of faith can win them back from addiction. Kind of hard to believe if you ain't ever seen the power of God operate like that. And you know how you know when you these so-called saved folk that ain't got no type of relationship with God or no knowledge of God, because they say stuff like this. You know, they just own that stuff. They gonna be on that stuff, and that's just how it is. They wanna. You don't know God, because if you knew God, you wouldn't talk so confidently about what God is not able to do. Lord, have mercy. But if you have real faith, it don't matter to you how long they've been addicted. It don't matter to you the awful things that they may have done in addiction for the drug. All that matters to you is when you read something that says something like, "Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think, according to the power that works in us." See, y'all couldn't shout because you don't know about that. See, it just proved my point. And let me say it again. Let me say it slow. Now to Him who is able, Him being God, to do exceedingly abundantly, that means a lot, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. If you've got faith, you've got a power that works in you, that you can petition the Lord and things just change. I believe it's a verse that says, the righteous, effectual prayers of the righteous availeth much. In other words, what the Bible is saying is the prayers of the righteous change things. People who got a real relationship with God can get into a room, and when they come out, things be different. You understand what I'm talking about? I ain't talking about one of them, "Now I lay me down to sleep." I'm talking about somebody that knows how to get in the closet and until I see a change. Lord, have mercy. Until I see a change, I ain't coming out of here. Lord, have mercy. The power that works in us is called faith. Faith is such a big deal because I'm shaped by my faith. And because of my faith, I am allowed the ability of seeing things in a different perspective from those that are without faith. Our focal verses give the implication that Paul was going through some things. And in order to see the depth of what it is that he's going through, we must not neglect to ask the question, why is he saying what he's saying to us? We know what he is saying, but why is he saying? And what he is saying is the something is that something is going on, or something is going to happen that will far outweigh what it is that I'm going through right now. In other words, as bad as it is right now, what's on the way will stomp all this hell that I'm going through. Watch this. What's on the way is going to be so far more major, it's going to be off the hook. Satan wants you to believe. Satan wants you not to believe. Satan wants you to keep you in unbelief, because he understands that unbelief is sin. We know this because the Hebrew writer penned the words in Hebrews 11 and 6 when he said, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. But he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him." And so if you are operating in unbelief, that means that you are without faith. And the scripture tells us that those that are without faith, it is impossible for you to please him. So the devil knows that not to believe is sin. Did you hear that? Not to believe is sin. And the sin of unbelief is grounded in hopelessness. And hopelessness after a while will make you feel like you're just decaying. It makes you even question the fact, why am I even living? Anybody ever been hopeless? Anybody ever been hopeless? Now I'm going to see how many of y'all was paying attention, because we said, what's in this glass? Y'all been talking about it. I told y'all. I said when I got the CD in the car, I said, I'm going to test them and see if they remember what we talked about. Pastor Ben Bougie, I'll show him. He's good too. Listen. For without faith, I want you to hear this. So much power over here. You keep my attention every Sunday. For without faith, it is impossible to please him. In other words, if you don't get to say faith, you got faith because you're just saved. Just like you don't get to say you're saved just because you're saved. You don't get to say that you love God just because you say you love God, because Jesus said, what? If you love me, you keep my command. So we're learning weekly that just because we say something don't necessarily make it true. Watch this. Just because I say it and I believe it don't make it true. And I can believe it with every fiber in my being, but if it's not true, it's just not true. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. I don't know, Lord, have mercy. What do you, why are you pushing that over on this side so hard? So what God is saying, listen, Satan, the reason why Satan is having the victory, why it seems like he's winning in your life is not because he is, it's just because you don't see it how you should. This is why it is so important to read the Bible more than Facebook. This is why it is so important to read your Bible more than Instagram. This is why it's so much important, more important to read your Bible than anything else. Why? Because it says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing what? By the Word of God. You hear the Word of God, you begin to see what all people have been through, and it begins to give you a strength. It begins to muscle you up. It begins to give you the ability to believe that you can make it despite what it is that's coming up against you. When people are dealing with hopelessness, they begin to become frustrated all the time. Ever been hopeless? Can't find no reason to smile when you're hopeless, can you? And when you get frustrated, the first thing you want to do is what? Quit. And this is why when you are going through a trial, Satan tries to put as many things around you that will distract you and frustrate you. And he wants to, that's where that old saying comes from, when it rains, it pours. That makes sense? And so when you're going through it, he begins, every time you turn around, you say, what else can go? Be careful about that. What else can, it just seems like everything that can happening is happening. It's right, because you have an enemy that desires to decimate you. He don't want to just kill you. He wants to decimate you. He wants to distract you and frustrate you, and he wants to frustrate you and distract you so that you waste your time on things, things that don't matter, that stop you from moving on. You ever been in the hell of your life and then something petty gets your attention for too many days? You know what I'm talking about? You ever just had to stop and catch yourself and say, I got real going on. What? I ain't going to keep dealing with this. I just said, ooh, I thought it was going to slip right there. Some serious stuff, and you got some petty person that ain't got no business. Lord have mercy. So they stay in your business, and you got to, all of a sudden you've been arguing for 2 or 3 days, and then finally you come to yourself and say, you know what? I don't even know why I keep on bothering you. Lose my number. I'm going to block you. Why am I even dealing with this? You don't pay no bills over here. You don't pay no bills over here. You should only feel hopeless when there is nothing that you can do. I have to retract that statement. If you are a believer, if I have to retract it if you're a believer, because it doesn't matter if you don't have the power to fix the situation, because you are connected to someone that does have the power to fix the situation, and his name is Jesus. I'm not moved by the mountains in my life because I'm all that. No. In all honesty, I am nothing. But I can look at my trials and I can look them in the eye and declare that greater is he that is in me. And I have to believe that with everything in me, because if I don't, discouragement can easily set in. And anytime I'm operating in discouragement, I'm giving the enemy praise. Yeah, you want to write that one down. Anytime that I operate in discouragement, I'm giving the enemy praise. Yeah. Let me say this. Be careful of always complaining. I'm going to write that one down. Be careful of always complaining, because complaining is actually giving Satan praise. When you complain, what you say is he's winning. When you complain, what you're saying is that he's bigger than my God. It's saying that all he has set out to do to you, the enemy, is working. And we know that it's working. Why? Because you're complaining. You ain't got to worry about me because I'm going to come through this. I can't tell. Not with how you're talking. I can't tell. Don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong. I cry. My wife will tell you, I cry. But when I cry out to God. He's all right. He's all right. Something about the little children. I cry out. I had to come to a place in my relationship with God that when I cried out, it wasn't giving the enemy praise, but instead I cried out to God. I didn't just cry. I cried out to God. It's a difference between just, it's just not going to get better. I just can't get it together. It's just crazy. It seems like everything. Instead of, God, I know that you are able to bring me through what it is that I'm going through right now. It's a difference, baby. It's a difference. I cry. I had to come to a place in my relationship with God that when I cried, I wasn't giving the enemy praise, but instead I cried out to God, because the way the Father's love is set up for me, I don't know about nobody else up in here, but when I cry, I'm not saying I'm about to give up. When I cry out, I'm not saying this is not doable. When I cry out to God, I cry out in faith. I cry out with expectation. I cry out with an understanding that because His love for me, my cries of faith invokes God to move on my behalf. It provokes Him to show up in the midst of my madness, and not just show up, but He shows up and shows out. You've got to remember that any time that you are not praising God, you are praising the devil, and complaining is praising the devil. Praising the devil. Yeah. And Satan wants us, can I talk to you about it? He wants you to talk depression. He wants us to talk evil. He wants us to talk despair. He wants us to talk about how crazy it is and how much bigger than me it is and how much I'm always going through. He wants to keep you in a mindset that destroys you. He wants to keep you in a mindset that keeps you afraid to come out of the corner, because you think if you come out the corner, you're just going to get hit again. But I want to tell you something. Some of you believe that the enemy is winning in your life. And I just want to stop and ask you, is the enemy winning or is the enemy desperate? Is some of you, watch this whole row right here, I want you to get excited, because now that you begin to come to church, now that you begin to follow the things of God, now that you're getting deeper in your walk, and hell is breaking loose in your life all over the place all the time, it's not that He's winning, it's simply that He's desperate. He sees you about to break through. He sees you about to deliver some folks. He sees you about to come out of the madness, and He's desperate. He's not winning. He's not winning. I just dare somebody that's going through hell right now. He's not winning. He's afraid. He's afraid. I'm excited. If you're going through the hell of your life right now, you just ought to get up and give God a shout. Thank you, God. I see it now. I understand clearly. He's not winning. He's just afraid. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Sometimes you just gotta look the devil in the eye and let him know, I refuse, devil, to lose my praise. There will be no pity party when the enemy begins to attacking me. But instead, there will be a praise. Because as long as I can remember, no weapon formed against me has ever had the ability to prosper. Had it been able to prosper, I wouldn't be here today. Had it been able to prosper, you wouldn't be here today. You wouldn't be in your right mind. You wouldn't have use of all your limbs. You wouldn't, oh Lord, now don't hear me up in here. Your babies wouldn't be okay. Your money wouldn't be okay. You might not be where you want to be, but you definitely ain't where the enemy wanted you to be. I want you to understand that we were made to praise God. We were created to give God, to give Him the glory. In fact, we are the only species that He made that has the ability to praise Him. Did you know that? We're the only ones that's got the ability to praise Him. And praising Him is what He expects us to do. If I buy a car, I expect it to drive. When it rains, it still better drive. When it snows, that car still better drive. Because that's what the car was made to do. It's the same with us and God. He made us to praise Him. So when I'm hurting, I've got to praise Him. When I'm mad, I've got to praise Him. When it's unfair, I've got to praise Him. You got to make up in your mind that it don't make no never mind if it's a situation. I'm still going to praise Him. I believe that the songwriter said, I will bless the Lord at all times, and His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Don't make no never mind how big it is. Don't make no never mind how embarrassed I might be. I'm going to bless the Lord at all times. Not just sometimes, not when my bank account is good, not when the relationship is working out, not when I'm booed and baited up, but I'm going to bless Him when we're on the verge of divorce. I'm going to bless Him when my child is acting like they ain't got no home training. I'm going to bless Him when my money is funny. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise. shall continually, consistently, you ain't never got to worry about it because I ain't going to run out of it, always be in my mouth. Lord, have mercy. Attacks, almost you get this, I'm almost done. Attacks are nothing but tests, watch this, to see where you are in God for real. Uh-huh. That's why I try to, discourage so many of you of always fronting on Facebook. You know, always got something to say on Facebook, always talking about how the Lord is your strength and you this with God and you that with God. Watch this. I don't care how much you're trying to radically show everybody that you are part of God. You know how the devil knows that you ain't a part of God, that you ain't as strong as God as you think you are, or that you professing that you are, because you're talking about you and not the Word. You're speaking for you, but you're not letting the Word speak for you. I would listen to you if you put a verse up and said, here's where I'm at. Or if you put a verse up and said, when they go, boom. You know, period. 100. I would listen to that if you were saying a Bible verse, but you just quoting you, and you've been quoting you for years, and you've been broken for years, so what you talking about don't got no power. Attacks are nothing but tests to see where you are in God for real. It's only a test to see if that faith is for real, to see if that joy is for real, to see how much Holy Ghost you got for real. And can I just go ahead and tell you, Holy Ghost, how much Holy Ghost you got is not predicated on how good you dance. It ain't got nothing to do with you speaking in tongues. You understand what I'm saying to you? But the Holy Ghost is when you're living in this sin-filled world. Lord, y'all don't hear me up in here. When you're living in this sin-filled world and you can still walk righteously amongst it, when you got hell coming at you on every end, but you shall not be moved. I know you got the Holy Ghost when you can say, for God I live and for God I die. And when hell come your way, you live that way. I know people that can imitate tongues like they can imitate stars. You understand what I'm saying to you? That don't mean nothing. That don't mean nothing. These tests is to see how much Holy Ghost you got. But if I want you to get this, catch this, but it's a test you cannot afford to fail. And the reason that you cannot afford to fail it is because this enemy that we have, he plays for keeps. This is why you cannot let the enemy play with your mind. Every time he comes for you, you have to declare, Satan, get away from me. I won't be moved. It's my faith, watch this, that keeps me in the storm. Watch this. It's my faith that keeps me in the same storm. Lord, have mercy. I'm going to get, Lord, have mercy. Watch this. And it's when hell is breaking up against me, I'm not going to get all weak and whiny because my enemy is coming at me. It's his job to come at. Can I just say that again? It is the enemy's job to come after you, but it's your job to declare that I will live and not die, that I'm the head and not the tail, that I'm above and not beneath, and I have decided to trust God. And since I trust God, I'm excited about what's on the way, what's around the corner. It might be crazy now, but I declare my ladder shall be greater than my former. It might be crazy now, but my breakthrough is on the way. It might be crazy now, but my joy, Lord have mercy, my joy is about to replace my sorrow, and clarity is about to replace confusion, laughter is about to replace these tears, so I'm no longer looking at what it seems like. I don't care that it looks like I'm losing. I understand that while I'm going through hell, God is just making room for more. Lord have mercy, God's just making room for more. I understand that it's going to get better, so I'm not going to give up. I understand that this is just something that I'm going through, so I'm not going to lose my mind. And what I'm going through, watch this, now it ain't got nothing on what's on the way. So this light affliction, somebody say it ain't all that. This light affliction that I'm going through is nothing. It can't be compared to the glory that's on the way. I might be going through hell right now, but wait until I get my glorious body. I might be going through hell right now, but watch when he shows up in my life. I might be going through hell right now, but I'm telling you, my ladder gonna be greater than my before. Lord have mercy. Yeah, Lord have mercy. I might be struggling financially now. But I can declare because of my faith in God that money is on the way. I might be single now, but oh, I can declare that the honeymoon gonna be in Jamaica, the Bahamas, or somebody like that. I might be going through it right now, but it's going to get greater later. And so for all the crying that I've done, for all the lacks of faith that I've shown, for all the times that struggling saints sat around me and threw in the towel because my faith wasn't strong enough to get through what I was going through in front of them, I'm starting over. Starting over because this is not how He meant for it to be for me. I'm starting over because I do not believe that Satan can be better to me in sin than God would be to me in righteousness. I'm starting over. I'm starting over. And in starting over, I'm going to value my body. And you can't have me just because you look good. And you can't have me just because you want me. And you can't have me just because I'm lonely. And you can't have me because I'm jealous because somebody else got somebody and I'm way better person than them. How they get somebody and I can't get nobody. But maybe God ain't brought you that somebody because you ain't ready for that somebody. What's wrong with me, you? What do you mean, Pastor? You can't be faithful to the one that made you. How are you going to be faithful to the one I send you? Oh, Lord, have mercy. I'm starting over. Because I realize that the way I've been looking at it has been all wrong. I'm starting over because the way that I've been operating keeps me in depression. Keeps me broke. Keeps me broken. Keeps me lonely. It keeps me not being able to trust people around me. I'm starting over. Because I read in the Bible that there is a hell. The way that I've been operating don't make me feel good about heaven. I'm starting over. The reason that you should first want to start over is because you begin to understand that your life, the way that you are living your life, if it is contrary to God, it's going to stop you. You want to start over if your life has separated you from relationship with the Father. That should be the first reason. So sometimes we start over, the heartbreak gets you to a point of where you get in a heart relationship with God, and that's all right. But you shouldn't want to start over. It shouldn't be that he broke your heart or she stole your money that you want to start over. You should want to start over because you realize that you are separated from God. You're separated from God. You should want to start over because you begin to understand about the love of Jesus, and while you were yet still a sinner, while you was yet still tripping, while you were still caught up in what you was caught up in, he loved you enough to die for you. You should want to start over because you begin to understand that the love that you've been looking for has been there all along, but it's not been in a human form. It's been from Abba, our Father. You should want to start over because you want to love who loves you. You want to love who loves you so deeply that you can love the ones, you come to a point in your life where you can love the ones that can't stand you. You should want to start over because you got things on the line. You should want to start over. Some things should happen in your life. And some people begin, God begins to put some people in your life that are going to depend on you, that are going to need you. They're going to have you in your right mind. You should want to start over. So God blesses you with some things. He puts some things in your life that make you say, you know what, I got to start over. 11 years into pastoring, I'm preached at some pretty big places from some pretty big names. And my oldest daughter spit this out, and I looked at him and said, I gotta start over. That's right. He said, start over. Oh, no. Gotta start over. You need to start over because you need to start over because you know you got some things going on and you want to see the power of God move like it's never moved before, to where it gives medical experts flips. They cannot believe it. So I gotta I need favor in the judicial system like never before. I'm starting over. I'm starting over because I'm not going to walk away from my right, man. I'm starting. I got dreams. I got destiny. I got potential. I got purpose. I wouldn't put here to be a loser. I wouldn't put here to be an emotional punching bag. I wouldn't put here to be a sexual deposit spot. I'm going to start over. I'm going to be confident in the starting over because why? Let me tell you why you can get excited, because you're here. And you know why I say that? Because the Bible says that being confident of this one thing, that he that has begun a good work in you, Lord have mercy. See, I've been coming for a little while now, a couple Sundays now. So that means that there's begun a good work in you. He says, and he will complete it until the day. He says, until I come back, I'll be working on you. All you got to do is stay solid. Stay solid. I got you. And it shouldn't be hard for us to stay solid with God, because we stayed solid with some people that didn't care anything about us. So staying solid for the one that created us and loves us, that shouldn't be as hard to do. It's time to start over. Because it's time to stop hating yourself. It's time to stop hating yourself. It's time to start over because it's time to start being okay with you. It's time to be okay with you. It's time for it to stop hurting. It's time for you to be able to lift. It's time for you to be able to